This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Scott the Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Charlie producing. Other side of the glass, Chicago Charlie. His team's 0-2 on the baseball season already.
Yeah.
0-2. Can I just say something? We're going to get to Tim Huma from BrewerFanatic.com. How stupid is Craig Counsell? Why in the world would you not put Imanaga back out there to start this game tomorrow? Why would you put him third in the order in this series? You have a chance to get an extra start out of your best pitcher who's been off for a week.
I don't know.
You don't know. Right.
That's a great question.
Idiot.
He likes just doing the normal lineup.
He's trying to outsmart everybody. It just drives me nuts. That part I don't miss. Hey, you're not dreaming. There is a lot of great stuff still going on, right? Wendy's Thin Mints Frosty. Oh, buddy. Get into it, because this sweet treat pairs the classic Frosty with the flavors of an iconic Girl Scout cookie. This flavor of magic starts with chocolate mint sauce, inspired by the flavor of Girl Scout Thin Mint, swirled around the Frosty, topped with a chocolate Wendy's W. Did I mention the best part? The sauce has a crumbly, cookie butter-esque texture. Yep, sounds pretty good, which is kind of the point. Enjoy yours in the iconic chocolate or vanilla Frosty. Why not try them both? That's what I do. Whatever you do, be sure to get your hands on all the minty, chocolatey, frosty goodness while you still can, because the Thin Mints Frosty won't be around forever. They are absolutely phenomenal. Just like this guy here. Phenomenal! You think of Tim Huma. You think phenomenal. Awesomeness. Greatness. He joins us now. He writes for Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Huma, MKE. Good afternoon, Tim.
Wow, that was, I don't know if that was draped in sarcasm or I should be flattered. I'm not sure what to do.
No, there. You should be flattered, but I'm also setting myself up so when I yell at you, you remember that and don't hate me after the show. So I'm just kind of setting myself up for later. You tell me now, your pick, your choice. Home opener is Monday. We'll be out at Polly's Pub and Eatery in West Allis from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll be out there doing my show. We'll have our leadoff show, our new pregame show before Brewers games will be out there with Tommy Wirtz as well from noon to 1. Looking forward to doing that. Shuttles to the Brewers games, all that stuff. Who's your starting pitcher on Monday if it's your call? Because right now, game one tomorrow is Peralta, game two is Nasty Nestor, and game three is Savali. So who, if it's up to you, is pitching game four?
Well, if it were up to me, it'd be Aaron Civale because he pitched well at American Family Field last year, and he has typically gotten shelled at Yankee Stadium. But, you know, whatever, it is what it is. Since they're going to go with Civale on Game 3.
I didn't realize he's gotten shelled at Yankee Stadium, so thanks. That makes me feel even better about this scenario. Now, go ahead.
No, it's like a 5.95 ERA at Yankee Stadium.
Only that.
Small sample size. But since that is the case, I mean, I'd go with Chad Patrick. They just had announced that he's on the opening day roster. He had a phenomenal year in AAA. Might as well let the guy go out there and work. Let the home crowd see him. Maybe he'll be juiced up and bring a little something. I know I've heard some people say he could be this year's Tobias Meyer, and you start rolling from there. So give him a start and let's see what happens.
You know, that's the other thing to consider here is when you do this, you're holding court or trying to hold serve until you can get to Tobias Meyers, so you can get to Quintana when he is ready to pitch, which doesn't sound like it's going to be maybe in the first week, maybe second week, maybe you get to him at some point. But that's what you're trying to do is hold serve, and your options aren't necessarily great at this point. You have a bunch of guys that are long relievers, maybe more so than guys that are going to go out there and give you 5 or 6 innings at the back end of this rotation.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say these are going to be bullpen games. I mean, these guys will still throw, you know, hopefully at least 4 innings, and then they'll piggyback another guy, maybe a long reliever, maybe they'll sneak in a short arm in between. But, yeah, to your point, they're really just trying to kind of hold serve a little bit till they can get their regular starters back. And, you know, obviously everyone's pumped up for the new season. You want to get off to a great start, but you see it time and again, you know, it's such a long year. You have to make sure that you're kind of playing the long game. You're not worried about just getting everybody back as soon as possible. And in some ways it could be a huge boost for you, where if you get through these couple weeks and you kind of hold your head above water, and you get Quintana, you get Meyers, maybe later in the year you get Woodruff back. Hopefully he's looked pretty good. And then at the back end of the season, you get Gasser. I mean, it's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of a nice little safety net to have. But to your point, you just want to get through these first couple of weeks without, you know, totally putting yourself in a hole.
Well, that's just it. And you have your bold predictions up right now at BrewerFanatic.com. It's labeled 5 tasty bold predictions for the 2025 Milwaukee Brewers. I'm not sure really where to start. Let's first start, I guess, with Trevor Megill, who got shelled his last time out in his last outing in spring training. I guess I'm really not concerned about Megill as the closer. Should I be?
I don't think so. I think he's got the mentality. He's got the stuff. He kind of fits into that traditional closer type, where he's got the big power arm and he's got the big power breaking ball. You know, Devin Williams, extremely talented, and the airbender was phenomenal, but there were problems with his repertoire because he didn't have a pitch that would fade away to his glove side. So hitters were able to look for that fastball, and if not get that, they knew the changeup was going to go in one direction and didn't have to look anywhere else. So at least with Megill, I just think his mentality, he just seems a little more fiery. He seems like he'd take the ball every single day, every single week if he gave it to him. And sure, he's going to have some blow-up games, no doubt. But I think over the course of the year, the Brewers are going to play a lot of tight games as usual. And I think he's the guy that really can step into that role and take it over. I mean, health notwithstanding, everybody's always at risk to get injured. But I really can't wait to see what he can do over the course of a full season.
Tim Mumma joins us, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Mumma, MKE. This next one is interesting. The Brewers hit more home runs in 25 than they did in 24. This is knowing that they don't have Willy Adames anymore. Please explain.
Yeah, you know, and I agreed with the narrative all offseason, like they had to find some more power. Obviously, Adames, 32 home runs were going to be a big hole, and the Brewers weren't a big power team to begin with. But I don't know, the more you talk with people, the more you kind of look at it, it's like, you know, there's a lot of room for growth as far as power. I mean, you know, obviously you have Yelich, who only played, 70-some games last year, and he was showing he had that power stroke coming back the year before as well. You got a guy like Hoskins, who, again, 2 years removed from surgery. I think he's going to have a better season, as much as I was fine if they were going to try to trade him off somewhere. But then the big ones, really, to me, are Jackson Chourio and William Contreras. I mean, Chourio, as we know, I mean, what a talent. I said earlier this week that I tried to temper my expectations for him, and then he hits like 500 in spring training and just looks like he doesn't have a care in the world, which is usually when guys hit their best. I mean, he had, 21 last year? Lots of people thinking he'd go for 30. I mean, that's a huge jump. And then you just add in somebody like Contreras, who I think he's right in his peak years offensively. He could easily – he had like 37 doubles last year, and he could easily turn some of those into homers. So I think, if you just keep adding up 4, 6, 8 home runs to a handful of these guys, you know, Mitchell, Frelick, all of a sudden you made up that ground on Adames, and then that's not even counting some guys like Joey Ortiz, who I love, you know, Ollie Dunn, they're big, they're high on at least his power bat. So as crazy as it sounds, they lost Adames, and, you know, they lost a little bit of power with Gary Sanchez, but if you just tack on a little bit here, a little bit there, suddenly up and down the lineup, you actually can add more home runs, and I think it actually could happen.
All right, let's continue to go down the line here of these bold predictions as we move forward here. Well, we'll skip the Joey Ortiz one. We'll move forward past that.
Wow.
No, I don't. Okay, look, he has a Joey Ortiz, Willie Adames prediction, and you can go read it for yourself at BrewerFanatic.com. That is fine. I want to get to another one. Jared Canning is the most valuable Brewers reliever by F WAR. First question: what the hell is F WAR?
So you have your WAR statistics, wins above replacement. There are actually two. There's the Baseball Reference site, so that would be B WAR. Then there's the FanGraphs site, who has their own WAR, F WAR.
So F just relates to the site that it's with. Gotcha.
Yeah, they calculate things a little bit differently. They factor in, you know, some places they factor in more of a value for defense, some for pitching, and they might have some other statistics they utilize. So, and the reason I went with F WAR is just that's usually the one that I typically follow, and that's one that I think in this case kind of stands out, because at least in looking at that, almost every year, and it's probably this way for most teams, the closer, whoever the main closer was, leads the team in F4, and it that makes sense. They're pitching in high leverage, they're obviously a talented hurler, but with a team like the Brewers, they have all these guys up and down they could go to. You know, you had a guy like Hader before he was a closer that you used, you know, two innings at a time here. He'd come in high leverage situations, just not in the ninth inning. And that's where you can still rack up some of that WAR. And I don't know, there's something with Koenig. You know, he came out of nowhere last year. He can get both righties and lefties out. He's got just a little bit of a different delivery. And as good as he was, he wasn't like a big-time strikeout guy. He walked more than you'd be interested in. So I think with another year of development, another year working with the Brewers staff, and just the fact they're going to utilize these guys in different ways throughout the course of the year, I think he's going to be a lot more valuable than people give him credit for. And it could go to anybody. I mean, we know the Brewers have always been good at this, at just finding the matchups and throwing guys in where they need them. But I don't know. I really liked him last year. I think he had like 6 starts as an opener, and it just seemed nothing really fazed him. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do after another year with the Brewers pitching lab, as we like to say.
That's great. He is Tim Mumma, Brewers writer over there at Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Mumma MKE. I know we've talked about this, but you're going to get, supposedly, is going to be a lineup against a left-handed pitcher, which very well may include Jackson Chourio leading off tomorrow. Are you a fan of different lineups versus different style of pitchers, lefty or righties, or would you rather see Garrett Mitchell batting in every lineup, regardless if it's a lefty or righty and so forth?
I'm fine with a player here or there, and as far as switching up the lineup lefty-righty, because some guys just really are bad against, you know, their weak side, and some guys are just phenomenal, at least they should be, against, you know, when they have the platoon advantage. So I think if it's one or two guys, I think that's perfectly fine. But I also, you know, I believe in guys being hot and guys being cold. So, you know, let's say middle of the season and Mitchell's just raking, let him keep facing lefties, because sometimes it is just about that confidence at the plate and how your swing's going, and maybe he is a better option than trying to figure out, you know, Eric Costa is going to catch and then have Contreras DH and then squeeze in another righty somewhere else. So, you know, I think over the course of the year, again, we talk about so many games, but I think it shouldn't just automatically be left-right. Here's my scenario, and I think Council fell into that trap quite a bit, Keston Hira, anybody, where in theory Hira should crush lefties, and he never did, yet that was when he would put him in the lineup. So I think you got to play it a little more intricately than that, but I have no problem with switching it up here, there, lefty-righty, if it makes sense for the team, if it makes sense for the players that you're moving around.
Tim Mumma, what can people find over there at BrewerFanatic.com?
Well, as you can imagine, bunch of preview stuff. Everyone's excited for the new year. I'm pretty sure there'll be some more predictions up there today, tomorrow. And, you know, just as usual, we have a lot of really great writers over there and guys who are, I mean, really kind of in tune with everything, especially guys like Jack Stern, Matthew Trueblood, you know, a number of other guys, too. A lot of great work over there, and I appreciate the work those guys do.
Tim, thanks so much for coming on. Follow him again on Twitter at Tim Mumma, MKE. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sparky. Always a pleasure, man.